Welcome back once again to the Extra Point Podcast. Today is Tuesday, July 2nd. My name's Todd. I'm a pastor here at First Family and really glad you've joined us. Welcome aboard to this edition. I'm excited to talk about a topic that we mentioned briefly Sunday in our message. Just in case you weren't there and are listening in, or perhaps you were there and just want to catch up a bit, we did take a pause in our Colossians series. And I wanted to bring a standalone message regarding the politically charged culture in which we live and how to actually conduct ourselves Christianly within it. It was the Sunday after the debate. I didn't really plan it in light of that. I planned it more in the fact that it was the Sunday before July 4th. But as God's sovereign will would have it, it did come after the debate as well. So it was a pretty timely placed opportunity to just talk to our church about how to live Christianly in a politically charged culture. In that message, I was addressing the fact that we are to only worship God, and then we're called to honor the state, but those are different, and that sometimes those lines can get blurry. I talked about different situations, mentioned some from the Bible, of course, Daniel 3, and so forth. And within there, I just asked ourselves the question, you know, how do you know when you're worshiping the state, or how do you know when you're worshiping something or someone other than God? I think most of us, at least within our church realm, those who are listening, you know, the people who are in our flock, the sheep, would say that we're worshiping God and that's what we do. And I would maintain that a better answer would be that we often don't know for sure what we're worshiping till we have to choose. And that's what I said Sunday. I'm not demeaning our intentions, or I'm not saying that our discernment is wrong. I'm just saying often when we come face to face with a choice about what we're going to do, it really does reveal who or what we worship. And I then maintain that often our choices aren't revealed until a crisis. And so I've kind of laid out this pattern that a crisis reveals choices, and choices often reveal our idols. And that's when you actually know who or what you're really worshiping. I think before that, we can have good intentions and we may aim to worship God, and perhaps we really do. But when you're faced with a choice that comes from a crisis and then you make the choice, you'll know then for sure what or who you actually worship. Now, Sunday, in that moment, I gave an illustration. I simply said, if you need to see this in action, just look back to COVID. And of course, we got a different and an odd little chuckle at that moment, because all of us realized that was a crisis, not only individually, but also corporately, I would even say nationally to some degree, revealing what we really value. Now, I'm responsible here for, along with our elders, for this body of believers. I'm going to speak to that, because at that point, the crisis facing our nation, it was a health crisis. The things going on medically, they were way out of my understanding and realm. And so that's what was happening across the board in our country. And then we're getting information about closures, about mandates, about you can't, you know, directives that when you can meet, when you can't meet. And in all honesty, those were beyond just even congregations. I remember mandates about the size of holiday gatherings. And boy, that really hit the fan, no doubt. There were limitations in various states and cities regarding public gatherings. Of course, some places and people got exceptions. And if you recall, some politicians even created exceptions by their actions. And so this was a real it hit the fan. It was a argued point for weeks and months, and this affected churches. You know, should the church meet? Should it follow along with what seemed to be this mandate, this directive to not gather? And so here in Iowa, I remember when the official date, the official beginning point of all these directives came down, they came in the form of proclamations. And I think our governor issued those regularly. And so initially, it seemed the proclamation, the directive, the mandate from the state was that churches can't meet. Now, there may have been some other parameters around those that I'm not aware of still, but I think the general consensus was beginning on a certain Sunday, and I think it was prior to Easter, then that churches can't meet because they're going to be over the limit, they're not going to be able to space appropriately, and all of these things that were created to try to stop the spread. It appeared that churches weren't going to be able to meet those. Not sure that was even in the proclamation. All I know is that the general consensus, the word on the street was, beginning on a certain date, you can't meet as a church. Now, I want to be very transparent with you. When I look back at those weeks, because we followed that, okay, in our hearts to try to be accommodating, we followed that. I remember that more of the video services, you know, really ramped up. Everyone got on board with those in some way or another, whether it was through just a simple camera and Facebook Live, or whether it was through an entire production. Some actually met early and produced a service and then played it. Others sometimes would just show their pastor or their team in the auditorium live. Some, you know, would just go from their home on Facebook. So I remember just everyone trying to create ways to hold a service that really wasn't a service. Let's be frank. It wasn't the gathering of God's people. And so as this date approached us, I remember us battling, and we did agree that we would close services. And looking back, that's probably the part that I regret. And I'm not calling out our elders. I'm not calling out myself. We were in agreement at that point. It seemed the best thing to do. But as with most things, and I think this is true, if you were to analyze your own life, you can look back with greater clarity and discernment when you look back in hindsight. And in doing that, I will admit to you, that's probably my area of greatest disappointment, is that somewhere in there we agreed to not meet, and I don't think we should have done that. Now, my intentions and our elders' intentions was pure. It was clean. It was right. We felt at the moment it was the best thing to do. We probably should have gotten some more help in trying to discern the proclamations coming from the governor. I wonder if perhaps in those initial proclamations were those exemption phrases in there and we just didn't realize it or read it or understand it. I don't know. But the sense that we had to cancel went for about 7 or 8 weeks. I think we were closed for 7 weeks. When the governor's proclamations were understood more clearly, and I'm not sure if other things were inserted in there later or if we just didn't read them properly at the beginning, I really don't know. But there was a point in time, after a few weeks, we realized, oh, we actually can meet. We're in that exemption category. We then felt like, well, we will meet. And so we picked a date that was as early as possible based on the proclamations. And we went to 3 services, did our best to try to create an environment that either met or came close to what they wanted us to do. When I say they, being our government, we wanted to have a posture that we wanted to work with them. And so we went to 3 services, spaced things out, created some time between the services that was different. We did a lot of those cleaning techniques between every service. And I'm not affirming or denying them. I'm simply saying what we did. That we did everything we could to hold the posture of we want to work with our government. And then we came back as quickly, and I'll use this phrase on purpose, as we were allowed by the proclamation. And again, I think that's my area of disappointment. And regret can be a strong word, but it's probably personally what I feel. I feel a little bit of regret that we've followed closely to the proclamations in our timing, as opposed to simply saying we're going to continue to meet regardless. We'll employ all the cleaning techniques. We'll meet, we'll space out. We'll have multiple services. I think there's a lot of things we could have done while we continue to meet to show that our posture was designed to be one of humility, to be one of graciousness, to be one that's, you know, we're working with you, not against you. But I wish we would have maintained our services straight through and not taken a break. Another way to look at it is like this. I wish I would have understood my scriptural responsibility before I really understood my governmental rights. Does that make sense? I feel like we made the decision to come back as quick as possible once we saw that we had some rights based on the proclamation, once we saw we were one of those exceptions. And I wish I would not have let that affect me more than I did the fact that we're just called to not forsake assembling together. And so I'm not making excuses here. I'm admitting to you, I think in that moment, we were trying to navigate waters. We're trying to navigate cultural swings. Obviously, the voices from all sides were very loud. And we're not exempt, as I thought we were, from some of that pressure, to be frank with you. And so we did. At first, we just felt, I think we have to work with our government by complying. Looking back, I don't think we had to comply. We should have simply remained faithful to meeting and then allowed people in our church to make the decision that was best for them. In other words, let's obey corporately. That's the job of the leaders. Let's make sure that our church is positioned to obey God as a corporate body, as a flock. And then within that, people can make the decision that they'll answer to the Lord for. And so if you were to ask me, Todd, what were you disappointed in? What is your regret when it comes to looking back at COVID? I'll just speak for myself here and say personally, I wished I would not have canceled the services. It was a group decision, admittedly. I can't speak for all the men in that room at that time. I'll just speak for me personally. Looking back, yeah, I wished we would have remained open and then allowed our people to make their decision. Now, I do know that we talked about it probably 8 months to a year afterwards as a group of elders, and there was unanimous agreement that we would not cancel in the future. So I think that will tell you some insight into even our group discernment and evaluation of the COVID experience. We look back at that and wish we would have been more quick to simply stay open, remain open, and then give people the obligation to obey the Lord, the opportunity to obey the Lord as their conscience allows. And then they answer to God for their decision, and we answer to God for our decision for the church as a whole. I think this really fits well with one of the passages in the Corinthian epistles. You know, Paul there, he describes situations in which there can be differing opinions. And he says, to his own master, he stands or falls. Now, we can debate, is the church gathering one of those decisions or one of those elements in that area? We can debate that. In that moment, I felt like how people were gathering was in that area. We felt like, you know, do we or do we not stay open? Looking back, yeah, I would have much rather, as a corporate body, said we are responsible to God to not forsake assembling together, Hebrews chapter 10. And then we remain open, and then we put ourselves out there in a posture of grace and humility, and we tell our people, you have to now answer to the Lord for how you're going to follow and how you're going to obey what the scriptures say. And you'll answer to him in that sense and then give them that responsibility and model for them what we feel like is right for us to do corporately as the shepherds of this flock. And so that's just some more information. It's more insight. Gives you some sense of what the future could hold if you're a member at First Family. We will remain open in times when our government says to us, well, you must close. I'm pretty confident we would today say, we'll do all we can to stay open in the way that you feel is perhaps going to help the situation. Let's say a crisis occurs or a pandemic. If there's some guidelines to how we can be open in a way that works with our government, that works with the state, we're going to do all we can to have that posture. But as far as closing, that is the regret I have for those 7 weeks. And I'm pretty confident if that situation were to arise again, we would not close next time. We'd remain open. And I hope that we can continue to learn from previous things and become a more faithful body for the Lord's glory. An interesting phenomenon that I watched during that time, and I think all of you remember this, is the way that people made their decisions. And I think this is very intriguing. You could use the word rationalize. That can be a heavy-handed word, and I think both sides have used it. But I just remember watching it, and I was very intrigued with how people were using parts of the Bible to support, and I'll use the word here, to rationalize their decision. For instance, some said that it was unloving to meet together, that you were putting people at risk, and that there was a greater chance of the spread, that you were not helping the general public. The phrase, I think, was you're not loving your neighbor. The other side said that it was unfaithful not to meet. So you were either unloving if you did meet, or you were unfaithful if you didn't meet. And when you say, who was right? Well, here's where I think there were some legitimate points on both extremes. I think if you were careless with the spread of the virus during this pandemic in your normal life, then you're right. If you were forcing people, or you were intentionally spreading things in a way that people had no option, then I think that is unloving. That's just carelessness from a medical point of view. And yet to continue to meet and giving people options and giving people the responsibility to make their decisions under the Lord's authority based on various things like their health conditions, I think that is not unloving personally. And I know there are some who are listening to this who will disagree with me, but I think if there are plenty of options, if there's a sense of grace and humility to say we have an environment that we're trying to do our part to make sure it's in line with what our government says is the, you know, most healthy way to meet, but we are going to meet and it's your decision if you want to come or not, that seems to me to be a pretty good balance of being loving and remaining faithful. That way, biblically, the congregation itself is obeying the Lord with grace and humility. We're not trying to pick a fight with the authorities, and yet we're leaving each individual under the responsibility of the decision they have to make how to obey that. I think this fits the idea, again, like I said, of the passage in 1 Corinthians, and allows the church and her leaders to be both loving and faithful. Again, it was one of those phenomenons, and I think this went on for well over a year, the argument within Christian circles, you know, is your church unloving or is your church unfaithful? And one thing that, again, disappointed me in this crisis was the inability of the Christian community to really find some kind of unity in this moment. It seems like the pandemic really separated us. I think the positive side of that is it brought about some good distinction. I do believe distinction is always a positive thing when people kind of play their cards and you know where they land, you know where they stand. And so that's a good thing, but it was unfortunate to me, again, that it divided us in a way that as the world watched, it didn't see primarily a church rallying to address the mission of God in a time that was critical, like in a crisis. The world didn't see the church rallying to God's mission. It seemed the world was watching the church divide over what they felt was right or wrong. And so if there's one part of the pandemic that I thought we handled well, and when I say well, we didn't do it perfectly, but I do think the Lord empowered us in a good way to stay on mission. So when they brought out the different mandates about the masks, you know, many churches, man, they were forced to land either or. And I recall we just decided that was your call. We were going to reopen after a certain amount of weeks. I think we reopened on week 8 once the proclamation, at least to us, seemed to make an exception. Again, I'm not saying that was the best decision to wait that long, or that I'm not saying we read the proclamation right. I'm just saying that was what we did. With good intentions with good hearts, we felt like it's time to get back. We've got the room based on the governor's proclamation, so we're going to take it and run with it. And then we just said to people, if you want to wear a mask, wear one. If you don't, don't. If you want to sit further apart, sit further apart. If you want to watch upstairs, watch upstairs. We gave a lot of room for people to make their decision, and we intentionally didn't take a stand on if you should or shouldn't, because we would say this, that our goal is the mission. It's not your mask or no mask. And some criticized me and us for perhaps avoiding an answer. I recall that. And some people in our church, I mean, good friends, had different opinions. But I do think at the end of the day, it resonated well and it landed well with our church that we weren't going to focus on the issue of masks, but that we were responsible to focus on the mission of God. That did land well. And I'm thankful for how we navigated the thing, the pandemic, that moment, once we begin to meet again. So if you were to ask me, Todd, lots of words here, you know, you're bringing us into your heart and your mind, even into the elders' room a little bit about how things went, some of those discussions. Give us some summaries. What are some of your thoughts? What are you really saying? I would say, what do I wish I would have done differently is not closed at all. I wish we would have remained open with a posture of doing all we can in those openings to help people make the decision that was best for them, and then leaving that decision to them under the Lord's authority. What am I glad we did well? Well, I'm really thankful that we focused on the mission and not masks, that once we did regather, it was clear that we were after one thing, to continue to make disciples of all nations. And so those are some thoughts about how we went about making sure in the pandemic that we were honoring the state, but not worshiping the state. I mean, that was the point of the message, that we can't worship the state. And so in that pandemic, did we do everything perfectly? No. Were there times that perhaps we bordered on giving the state too much authority and taking a knee, bending a knee to the state at a time when we shouldn't have? Perhaps we did. That was not our intention. And so I admit to you, we were all navigating new waters. I think our government, at least here in Iowa, was navigating new waters. And I've said, and I will say again, I think our governor did a fantastic job. She, like many of us, we were in territory we had never walked before. And I'm so thankful, if my memory serves me right, that as soon as she understood some things constitutionally, she then exempted churches. And then when we understood that, we took advantage of that as quickly as possible. Yes, I wish we would have remained open even during the time when constitutionally, or at least governmentally, they were saying we couldn't meet. I wish we still would have met. But I know for the future what we'll do. And I'm just thankful for a governor who acted quickly once I think she realized, hey, this is not going to work constitutionally to ask people to close. So all in all, looking back, I think the closure is my greatest disappointment. That's the part I regret. But I'm thankful for the focus that we maintained even while we were closed and coming back in the way we did, the focus that it's about the mission, not the mask. So in all of that, I hope you hear my heart. I hope you don't hear any pride or arrogance. I hope you don't hear us saying that we have it all figured out. We don't. I don't know what the next pandemic is. I don't know what the next cultural crisis is. I don't know what the next marginalization will look like. I don't know what the next persecution's going to look like. I do know this. I learned a ton during the pandemic, not only about myself, but also about leading the sheep. And I'm committed, along with our elders, to remaining open if this were to occur again, but making sure our people know we'll do all we can to be a good neighbor and a good citizen and a good corporate entity under our government without worshiping that government. And I think that line for us is we'll remain open, but we'll do all we can while we're open to follow our governor and our leaders' instructions in those moments. So that's some thoughts about the pandemic, looking back in light of principle number one from the message yesterday, that we're not to worship the state, but we are to honor it. And we didn't do it perfectly in those years. I hope next time, even though we won't do it perfectly probably, I do hope we'll do it better. I want to close with one last text that I think really helped me during that time. It comes from the book of Acts, chapter 8, those beginning verses. You know, that's when the persecution broke out against the early church. And there's an interesting textual nugget in the early part of Acts chapter 8, in which it says that when persecution broke out, all of the, and I'll use the word members here, it's not used in the Bible, but the followers, the disciples, they scattered. But guess who remained? It was the church's leaders. In other words, the church's leaders, they stayed in place. They remained in the place of danger. They continued to minister and serve and carry out the functions of the church, even though the followers scattered. And so what I take from that is, in moments of crises, in pandemic situations, in times when there's an upheaval, it's leaders who should remain and be faithful and take the hardest course of action. And the members then have more options as to how they will still remain faithful to God and yet care for their family. And can I use the phrase, protect what they have and live in the safest way possible? I don't think there's anything wrong with quote-unquote scattering. Like the disciples didn't do anything wrong. It was how the gospel got to other regions. It was ordained by God. This was one of God's ways to scatter the church. And yet in that moment of scattering, guess who didn't scatter? But guess who stayed in the hottest area, the one with the greatest danger, and I believe remained, can I use the word open here? They remained committed to the mission. They stayed faithful. They continued to witness and make disciples. That group was the church's leaders. And that really informs me, and I think it informed us a good bit during the pandemic, maybe not as much as it should have, but as we came through it, as we reopened, as we look back now, I want our church leaders to be the ones who, when things are the toughest, will be the first to show the way and to obey what God calls us to do, and then share with our people and communicate to our sheep to make sure our flock knows these are your options. Here's what you can do. Here's what we want to encourage you to do. And we're going to lead the way in that. And I think if a pandemic were to occur again, that's exactly what we would do, is we would remain open and commit to meeting, ask you to join us, and make those meetings as close to what the government needs as possible in that moment based on what's going on, but by no means close or try to run from the risk or try to protect ourselves in a way that removes us from any criticism or persecution. We'll do our job to lead well and then leave you to the Lord to follow well under His authority and responsible to Him. So just some thoughts there. I told you I'd address this on the podcast. That's what I've done. I trust that even in times like this, when perhaps there's disagreement among us, or even in this podcast, when you've heard things you might have said, I'm not sure I'd do it that way. And let's have grace for each other. I'm confident that within this church, our hearts are to follow Jesus faithfully. And we will continue to do that, even though it won't always be perfect. Man, let's make our aim to follow Him singularly, wholeheartedly, focusedly, worshiping only Him and never anyone or anything else.
Thanks for listening to the Extra Point Podcast. To find more content and resources to grow deeper in your relationship with Jesus, go online to firstfamily.church/resources.